You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 78, Use the Force. All right, next week, starting very early tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, I'm recording this Saturday, last day of April, April 30th. So I will be in Cancun for 6 days next week. So my vacations were limited due to switching jobs last year. So back in 2014, I took 7 trips. Yes, 7. Some weekends, but anyway, last year I took 3 trips with only 1 week. With only one of those trips being a week long to Cabo San Lucas. So I'll be recording, since I finished with this episode, I'll be recording episode 79, which will be posted for tomorrow while I'm flying towards, from Salt Lake to Cancun. So enjoy the podcast episode tomorrow. And with that, let's start the news. Disneyland and Disney World break ground on Star Wars Land. Back on April 14th, Disney announced that they had started construction on the Star Wars Land additions at both Disneyland in California and Disney World in Florida. So the Star Wars Land at Disneyland is where the Big Thunder Ranch used to be. No worries, people. Big Thunder Railroad is still there. So there used to be, for those of you familiar with Disneyland, Big Thunder Ranch was, they had like a petting zoo and some place to eat and stuff like that. So that's gone, completely gone now. For the Florida property, the Star Wars Land will be built inside Disney's Hollywood Studios. I'm not sure of the location. I looked for maps. I didn't really see anything. I'm sure, there's people that are watching this kind of stuff. Like Mouse, I think it's mouseplanet.com is where... Or I forget what the Disney official site, or the unofficial Disney site that gets updated a lot. So in addition to the Star Wars Land at Disney Hollywood Studios, there will also be a Toy Story Land built. I don't think they're going to have one in Disneyland, so that's going to be exclusive to the Disney World Florida property. For Disneyland's expansion, there were some sacrifices that had to be made, in addition to the Big Thunder Ranch. So... Disneyland Railroad, Mark Twain Riverboat, Tom Sawyer's Island, Davy Crockett Canoes, and the Fantasmic Light and Fireworks Show all had to close down temporarily. So I'm assuming that all these attractions will reopen once they complete Star Wars Land. That's pretty much a good assumption. I mean, those things have been around for years, so... Disney is betting heavy on the Star Wars franchise since they bought it some years back, as they have every reason to with the giant amount of money that last December's Episode 7, Star Wars The Force Awakens, made worldwide. Billions, yeah, that's a lot of money. So yeah, let's capitalize it by adding some theme lands to your theme parks. So these parks were first announced back in August. They had a convention-like thing. I forget the details on it, but where they showed like different scenes. They had Harrison Ford announcing certain things about the park and all that. So they are being built quicker than other expansions the theme parks have done over the years. So yeah, we're still more than 2 years out before the parks are done. But that's pretty quick compared to how other expansion of the parks were. So I would imagine that once completed, park visitor numbers will grow a lot. Yeah, I think it's busy now. So as a Star Wars fan and a big Disney fan, I can't wait to experience these theme parks, the park additions. BYU student reported rape. School is using the honor code to investigate her based on a police case. So, this is local here. Pretty big story, actually, here. And I think it's gone somewhat nationwide. But one of the biggest stories here in Utah is of a BYU student who went on a date with a non-BYU student. So for those of you who are not familiar with BYU, that stands for Brigham Young University. It's a private university owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. So so this BYU student, she went on a date with a non-BYU student, and he sexually assaulted her. So she reported the assault to the Women's Services Center on the BYU campus, as well as a police report being opened. So the Title IX office was notified of this case. The police case being opened, the Honor Code office, once they received the police report from an officer who wants to ensure that BYU students are not breaking the Honor Code, an investigation against the woman was opened. So, So, yeah, so Title IX is a federal thing where, you know, allows students to report sexual assaults or rapes or anything like that, and, you know, the school will comply to investigate these rapes and everything like that. So, you know, alongside of a police report. But so the honor code, BYU has an honor code, which basically means, you know, you're supposed to live Mormon teachings, you know, even if you're not Mormon that and going to BYU, which very small percentage of students are not Mormon that go to BYU. But can't have no sex outside of marriage, no alcohol, no coffee, no tea, no... you know, a lot of restrictions that are based on the Mormon religion. So, anyway, but so the Honor Code is investigating this woman who reported the rape. So, in the time since this woman, her name is Madeline McDonald, she's subject to Honor Code investigation, which comes with various penalties, including getting expelled from BYU. So, get this. So she was sexually assaulted by a non-BYU student. She's being investigated, not the non-BYU student. You know. And she could be kicked out of school for something that she didn't, you know, that... Welcome to religion meets education meets legal police reports here. So her report of being sexually assaulted and now facing possible honor code violations is causing other women who are raped or sexually assaulted to not report those. Because they want their fear of getting kicked out of the school. Hey, wait, you know, I didn't control this, but my gosh, I'm the victim here. And the school could kick me out for being the victim. Seriously. Okay. So this is what the uproar is all about. It's not a push to remove the honor code completely. You know, I mean, there's you know, people that are, you know, that complaining about the honor code and you know, non-fans of it. Blanket supporters of BYU moral rules system suggest, oh, no, they're trying to get rid of the honor code. No, we're not trying to get rid of the honor code. We're trying to make it so that people, you know, that, you know, these women that are sexually assaulted or raped can report them without fear of being kicked out of school. No. So the county prosecutor says this rape case is hampered by the honor code investigation. I tend to agree. The county attorney says it's not. I tend to disagree. So, as of the recording of this episode, the aforementioned McDonald's Honor Code investigation was dropped. But would it have been if there wouldn't have been a public outcry for a change? I seriously doubt it. So, BYU says the Honor Code office and the Title IX office are separate. But this case and many others suggest that they are very close. So, this immediate action taken by the Honor Code office makes victims feel like they are the suspect, giving the rapist and the assaulter the upper hand and using the honor code in their favor. Yeah, see? Yeah, you know, even a non-BYU student, you know, can still use the honor code to get this, you know, a woman that he's raped or sexually assaulted in trouble. So, anyway, you know, it's just crazy, you know? It's just, you know, So no changes so far have been announced, and it's pretty much a given that BYU will not make any changes. After all, they're owned by the LDS Church, where change is often but rarely due to backlash or protest. So I guess we'll see what happens, but it's just so sad, you know, sad that this happens. Panama Papers, the whole story. So the biggest leak in the history of document leaks at 2.6 terabytes, 11.5 million documents that showed many world leaders, politicians, and other prominent people used the services of an offshore law firm called Mossack Fonseca, hope I'm saying that right, whose home base is in Panama and is currently the world's fourth largest offshore law firm, to skirt on paying taxes. While not all clients that used their services did so illegally, this leak shows that many, including the now former Prime Minister of Iceland and Russian President Vladimir Putin, were all clients, you know. So the amount of wealthy individuals that use this firm to offshore money to prevent paying taxes is staggering. Ranges from the very prominent and well-known names. I mean, there's very, you know, a lot of company owners, movie directors, you know, I mean, actors, you know. So many, you know, there are many too long to list here, even for this episode. So David Cameron, the current British Prime Minister, was outed even after he made comments last year that called out money launderers. So his connection to all this is his father. So. Who uses this Mossack Fonseca law firm. So the leak happened from an anonymous source by a German newspaper. So much fallout has happened as the aforementioned Icelandic prime minister stepped down. It took him a while, as well as many others who are now scrambling to make statements or keep even more quiet when their names were listed as being involved. And as I stated earlier, that not all the clients of Monseca Fonseca are avoiding taxes. I mean, so this law firm does legal, you know, says those who have been, you know, there are those who use the firm for, you know, for legal, you know, money offshoring. You know, it's not just trying to avoid taxes. They do it for, you know, other reasons. So, but those who have been rightly called out in their avoidance, so people like the ultra-wealthy, have money for many reasons, but it's obvious a lot do thanks to funneling money into tax haven countries like Switzerland and the British Virgin Islands. Taxes are a necessary part of making money. Duh. The idea that these wealthy people avoid paying taxes means the taxes are expected to be coming in to keep government functions working are less and can eventually trickle down to poor and others that already pay more than their fair share in some parts of the world. So, yeah, pretty, again, you know, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. You know, there's many, many songs and other things that have, you know, and statements that have gone that way. So, more development on this here. You know, we'll see where this goes here in the coming weeks and months. This week's rant: the cost of alcohol at concerts. So I think I'm done buying drinks at concerts, at least here in Utah. The limited selections we have here are pathetic at best. So 3.2 alcohol content beer, you know, like Bud or so many others, you know, that are Shock Top, you know, some of these other ones that are draft beer, or even in cans, sold at some of these concerts, cost $10 or more for like a 16-ounce cup of beer, pint. A pint is $10 for 3.2% beer. You know, a lot of these places that I go to concerts at, like one of which is, it's called USANA Amphitheater. It's an outdoor amphitheater not too far from my house here. During the summer, they have a lot of bands that show up, you know, like this year, you know, like Black Sabbath and Journey, you know, many concerts that are showing up. And people, a lot of people attended. I think between the seated and grass area, you know, a good 20,000 people sell out some of these shows, you know, and they're all paying $10 or more for regular beer, you know. So at this USANA Amphitheater and other venues that serve hard alcohol, that needs to be drank inside a tiny area. So, yeah, like a small little, like, area that maybe holds 100 people or so, you know, at the most, you know. So not all venues have those areas. USANA does. But you can't take your drinks to your seats. You have to drink hard, you know, if you're going to get a vodka tonic or a rum and coke or something like that, you have to drink it there. So you know, the cocktail, that, and then the price, you know, again, the cost of alcohol at concerts, you know, like $12 for like something like an absolute vodka and tonic, you know. I mean, it's just insane. And you get barely 1.5 ounces of vodka in that drink, you know. So before you know it, you've blown through $60 and barely have any kind of buzz. I mean, I have before, but yeah, you know, $60-$80 later, you know, God, you know, I should just. So there are some outdoor venues, like there's another one called Red Butte Gardens, and they have they're up near the University of Utah, in Deer Valley, and they allow you to bring in your own wine, beer, or you know, pretty much whatever you can in a, you know, in an actual like cooler. So I enjoy shows at those places because I can bring my own stuff in. I'm not spending outrageous amounts of money, and I can drink what I want. Or there's the tailgating option in the parking lot with your own hooch. You know, bring your own stuff as long as you don't get caught, you know, by the parking lot goons. You know, So, you know, there's an option of a plastic flask if you want to try and sneak that in. You know, put it in your private parts, I guess, or near there where they can't touch you, where they can't frisk you. So, for the most part, I think I'd rather just enjoy the show without the worry of these asinine Utah liquor laws getting in the way of having a good time. All right, this week's shameless plug. It's going to be a lot shorter than normal. So, in the show notes for this episode, episode 78 on the blog, banalleakage.com, I posted a YouTube video. It's a video of a washing machine that is getting destroyed. So this week's details are, you know, like I said, pretty short. You just need to go watch the video, you know, and go to the show notes, and you can see the video at the top of this the blog post that has the show notes for this episode. And it's a YouTube video, washing machine getting destroyed. So the guy who did this, he's put a large metal motor part into the washing machine, and then he's got this washing machine set up outside, you know, and he powers it up remotely. And then he films it, and you watch this washing machine just like jumping around and everything. So anyway, just go watch it. I promise. If you're, my wife says, you know, she goes, and she doesn't really find this kind of stuff funny. I'm like, she tells me, she goes, it's because I'm still a boy at heart. Yeah, I am. So she laughed a little bit, but, nowhere near as long as I did. I think the video is like, I don't know, 5 minutes or something like that. So trust me, it's worth it if you like this kind of humor that I do. So, no, Luke, I am not your father. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening. And as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.